used to sing a little song like this as he opened his broadcast. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. Yes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I'm glad he didn't come for a visit. He came to reside, but he came to reign in your heart and in mine. Well, I have assignment tonight. If you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is a little bit different than some of the message that I have preached in mission conferences, but I believe it's the mind of the Lord to preach from the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you would like to stand out of respect for the Word of God. I want to say I count it an honor and a privilege to be here. I'm glad for these missionaries that have given themselves to the Lord for the particular ministry the Lord has designed for them. And by the way, I believe that's true. I believe God has a plan for each of our lives. But Pastor said to me earlier, we were talking, and he's talking about over 20 years ago that Brother Stennett Ballou came by Unity Baptist Church and preached on faith promise. And you folk have been faithful in your giving. And I know God keeps accurate records, you see. And when things are accomplished on a mission field and you've been supporting that missionary, that mission project, and God adds some fruit to your account for your faithfulness. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. For he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, for our life may suffice us, he said, to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when ye walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rites, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was a gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be ye therefore sober and watch and pray. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm interested in the last phrase of verse number 10. And he said, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, you know that we're saved by grace through faith. And we know that our God is the God of all grace. And we know that the gospel is the gospel of grace. And Paul talked about it in Ephesians about the glory of his grace. But I'm interested tonight on this matter of our responsibility of being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. But last night we emphasized being a servant, and tonight the matter of being a steward. Maybe tomorrow night about being a saint, I don't know. But I'm grateful for this privilege, and I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Would you pray with us? Lord, we love you and we thank you for saving us by your marvelous grace. Thank you, dear Lord, that you have been faithful to us. We're grateful for your call upon our life. And dear Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we fail thee in the matter of not doing what you've commanded. And I pray that you might whet our spiritual appetite tonight and give us a desire to be everything that you want us to be. And dear Lord, our response to you and to your word will determine our effectiveness and will determine our standing before thee. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, do what I cannot do. I thank you for all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may take your seats. Every Christian is a servant, we emphasize. Paul said, now, he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. And so he emphasized, might have been, but all of us are servants, but we who are saved by the grace of God are stewards. We're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. In the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, let's look at one verse of scripture, Luke chapter 12. And I'm looking at verse number 48 of Luke chapter number 12. And the Bible said, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of strife shall be beaten with few strife. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so I want to say to us tonight, we are more responsible to God tonight than we were yesterday. But we are responsible to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There is a distinction between a servant and a steward. A servant is one who serves and he is in subjection to his master. But a steward is also a servant. But the word servant includes the idea of a special accountability. Listen, I believe we live our lives as though we'll never stand before God. But I'm going to tell you, each one of us is going to stand at the beam of judgment of God, not to determine whether we're going. That was determined at Calvary when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. All of God's people are going to heaven. But we're going to stand and give an account at the judgment seat of Christ of not only all that we did, but all that we could have done. What a sobering thought. And we're going to give an account. And by the way, God's not going to call Brother Ernest up and say, now, Brother Ernest, would you give a short testimony about what you think about what Brother Bryant did? No, that won't come in there. God is a righteous judge, and he'll judge us according to his word. Amen. And so I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Now, could I say this? Most time when you're thinking about stewardship, folks always, you know, they think of the matter of the monetary, the money. And by the way, you are accountable to God for that. Not just 10%, but 100%. Oh, yes. And by the way, if you're not a tither, you're a God robber. Amen. And a woman, too. Notice I'm saying tonight, a servant is one who serves as in subjection to his master. Steward is also a servant, but the word steward includes the idea of a special responsibility. What God has put in my hands, I'm accountable for. And so that special responsibility, God's entrusted us with certain things that he's given to us, and it's our responsibility to use them properly. Hello? Everybody all right? I'm saying to you, listen to us, for each one of us, all of us, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account. of our works. Of what sort it is. Not what size it is. But what sort it is. Amen. I don't know about you, but that kind of sobers my thinking to realize the opportunities that I've passed, the times I've failed God, all that's going to come in review. Oh, I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. You're looking at a premillennialist. I don't believe the church is going one day through the tribulation period. Somebody said, well, I believe they go halfway. Well, you pack your bags, you go all the way. Amen. And could I say, if you're not right in that department, you'll not be right in another department. And doctrine does matter. I've got men, friends of mine that seem like, and by the way, I'm not throwing stones, but they don't mind using a person who is an amillennialist. And by the way, I think that is a doctrinal error. They're not going to answer to me. They're going to answer to God. Amen. They got the trumpets all mixed up. I'm saying to you, thank God he's going to come with a trump. And it won't be Donald either. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm saying tonight, God holds us accountable. He holds us accountable for the stewardship, and I want to be a good steward. Now, back in Genesis chapter 15, don't turn there, but Genesis 15, it was a matter of recognizing that here is the servant. Eliezer was a servant of Abraham's household, and Abraham had placed all the affairs of his household and all the property in the hands of this capable man, and he made him responsible for managing all his affairs. He's accountable. Abraham. Now, he holds us responsible for our life. You understand, it was William Carey who said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And God's going to hold us accountable for our lives. Dr. Bill Rice, years and years ago, led a man to Christ up in his age, and he seemed like he got saved, gloriously saved, and he said, so about 2 weeks later, said he was broken down, so just weeping and almost shivering. Dr. Rice said, well, he must be doubting his salvation. And so he spoke to him again, and he said, no, I know I'm saved. He said, but what are you so upset about? He said, what am I going to tell him? What am I going to tell him? Dr. Rice said, what are you talking about? What are you going to tell him? He said, what am I going to tell him about all these wasted years? Hello? What you going to tell him about all these wasted years? And could I say, I'm accountable to God, my life. Listen, the poet said, for in him we live and move and have our being. By him all things consist. By him we're held together. Amen. And so I'm responsible for, that's a tremendous gift, life itself. Amen. I believe life begins in conception, but I'm telling you, it is God who is the giver of life. And he's the sustainer of life. But I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Now, he's given a body, given us a body, but it belongs to the Lord. Could I say to your mind, a mind to think, and a heart to love, and a will to choose, I'm accountable to God for all of that. My body, my mind, my heart, my will. And so do we recognize tonight as fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptists? Do we really recognize the fact that it is our responsibilities as stewards to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God? And so as stewards, our bodies must be disciplined. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, you know the verses, we're not our own. So as stewards, we're to be good stewards of our bodies and discipline them so they'll be fit for the master's use. Amen. And so, y'all still in the building? Let's look at another verse. In the book of Romans, look with me, the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, and let's see verse number 7. Here's what he said. He said, for none of us, you know what none means, don't you? He said, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. He said, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die,
We're the Lord's.
And so I'm to give an account of my, not only of my life, but I'm to give an account of my influence. There's folks watching you. You don't have any conscience of. They're watching your life and they're watching my life. And every once in a while, God will pull the curtain back and let you see a little bit more of what He's doing. But the reason, probably the reason He doesn't let us see it all is because we get proud and couldn't be used by God. And so I'm responsible. It's a trust. Our influence is a trust from God. I want to influence young preachers. I'd like to influence others for God. I have no complaints. I'm grateful for the goodness of God in the land of the living. The psalmist said, I'd faint unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, help us to be faithful to the faith and faithful in the fight and faithful to the finish. Amen. How important it is. We've gathered together to worship our God. We pray together. We rejoice together. We labor together. We build together. And one of these days we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord. And so I'm saying our influence. God holds me accountable for my influence. I'm grateful for those that influenced my life for God. And the man of God who preached the word of God. And listen, they didn't tiptoe through the tulips. Say, they didn't mind. They didn't mind telling us what was not right with God. And the Holy Ghost of God arose our attention and we recognized what He said's right. And I need to get right. So I'm responsible for my influence. God has given to each one of us some power over other lives. Listen to me. And to some people, you're the only Bible they ever read. And we got too many people that talk about letting the light shine that never has had a fire kindled. And this poses upon us a great responsibility. I'm responsible to God for my life. I'm responsible for my influence. We're influencing others. Influencing others. My little grandson got saved at an early age, and he called me on the phone. I was coming back from Harriman, and he said, Papa, guess what? I said, I don't know, Connor, tell me what. And he said, I got saved. I said, hallelujah to God. And you said, well, you know, he probably didn't know what he was doing. I'm telling you, anytime anybody has any desire to know God, God the Holy Ghost has already worked in that heart. So he went to church 9 months before he was ever born. Amen. And then he's been in church all that time. He's listened, and a preacher preached on hell the night he got saved. And a couple of weeks later, he's over at the house playing with a neighbor kid. They'd come over and they'd play ball together. And we have a little screen porch on the back side. And I'm sitting in the dining room. And I heard O'Connor say to that boy next door, he said, are you saved? I said, praise God, he hadn't even been to soul winning class yet. He said, are you saved? The little boy didn't know what he was talking about. And Connor, hey, hadn't been to any special meetings. He said, if you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. Hey, I want to think I have some influence on my grandkids and I want my life to count. I'm responsible to God. I'm responsible. They're watching you. They're watching how we, and here's what happens, Brother Ernest. A lot of times it's not so much our action, it's more our reactions. We react improperly. And so do we recognize this aspect of our daily living, that we're stewards of the Lord? And we're to be good stewards. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And God does hold us accountable for the money that He, our possessions. Don't be like the fellow that put a nickel in the plate and thumped the plate and make it sound like a quarter. Hey, I'm responsible to God for what? 100%. All of it. When I first started giving the faith promise, that's over 50 years ago. I just gave a dollar. Well, I thought I was doing pretty good. Man, I didn't know anything about the tithe much until I got born again. Recognized it belonged to God. Amen. And so I started being honest with God and tithing. And then they said we ought to give to missions. And there's never been a year since then that God hadn't told me to increase it. And there's never been a year that God's failed to supply the need. And I'm happy to report to you tonight, everything's still running real good in that department. What God, hey, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He said in Psalm 84:11, he said, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them who walk uprightly. Fellow said to Dr. Lakey one time, said, I'd like to drive a Cadillac. He said, well, maybe you ought to be walking a little bit different. He said, well, you know, the Lord rode into town on a donkey. He said, throw a saddle on your back and I'll ride in one too. I'm saying, hey, you understand that I'm accountable to God for all that he puts in my hands. I stand amazed at what God does, but he's faithful to his promise. It says, he is my source. Education is not my source. Listen, mental ability is not my source. He's my source, amen. And my expectation is from him. And the reason why we don't see much is we don't expect much. Hello, y'all still with me? I'm saying our monies and possessions, all that we have, is God's. We're just stewards. We're just managers. God entrusts us with things, and does that for his glory. He trusts us. He puts us in places to touch lives, but it's for his glory. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hey, I'm grateful for what God's entrusted me with. I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And so the house I live in is a gift of God. God lets me live in his house. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the car I drive. Thank God. I was thinking about it. I'm grateful for a good car to drive. When I was coming up, we never had anything but rattle traps. And that was in a second degree. The silly things hardly ever had any brakes on it. And I'd see my daddy going downhill, pumping those brakes. And listen, sometimes you have to run around the corner out in the field again. But that was the best we had. But I'm glad I can put my foot on the brake pedal and she slows down. Amen. I'm thankful for the car God's given me to drive. Amen. It's the goodness of the Lord. I'm just a steward. And so it's a matter of the place I live, the car I drive. Listen, opportunities God gives me, we're just caretakers. We're just caretakers or managers. And we need to recognize this truth in regards to the matters of the possessions God's given to us. Amen. And then I want to say this. We're responsible for our influence on our children. Our influence on our children. My little girl, we taught our little girl to give faith promise. When we first started, we just encouraged her to, and she got involved with it, and then she got in love with a Yankee boy from New York, and I believe he's saved though, but she said to me one day at church they were going to Independent Baptist. She said to me, Daddy, you know, said they don't have mission offerings. They don't take mission. They don't have mission conferences, and they don't ask us to give. And she said, we really would love to give to Faith Promise, but they don't have it. And I said, honey, you need to be doing what you've been taught to do, whether anybody else does it or not. And guess what? God in his providence had that old boy call me. And he said, would you come over here and preach on Faith Promise in our church? That's been over 17 years ago. Yeah. And they've had that conference every year. And every year it's been an increase. And they're giving, hey, the influence of my life on my little girl. But the influence of my life on other preachers. Influence of my life. I'm saying God's watching you, but others are watching you too. How's my influence? How am I doing in the influence department? May God help us to recognize we're to be good stewards. Not just a steward, but a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Aren't you glad it's manifest? Hallelujah to God. I mean, there's grace for every trial and grace for every mile. And there'll be new grace when it gets our time to go. Amen. Are you glad for that? Talk about the manifold grace of God and being a good steward of that. And I'll be here a while if y'all don't help me. I'm saying, notice with me, we're accountable to God. Ephesians 5:16, he said, we were to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Buy up every opportunity to serve God. So we all have time on our hands and to use like we wish. But how do we use it? Dr. Robertson used to say, regardless of how spiritual a man might be, or high intelligent a man might be, only think one thought at a time. Could I tell you, we need to keep our mind on the Lord. Amen. And so I'm to use my time wisely. How do we use it? When Christians begin to recognize that time is the Lord's, then there'll be no scarcity of dedicated workers. And by the way, is that not what we need? Everywhere we need dedicated workers in our churches. The sad thing is that the need for workers is so great, and the opportunities for service are so glorious, and time is so short. If you live to be 100, compared to eternity, that would be just a short time. And so I'm reminded this, so few people are willing to give much of their time to the things of the Lord. And so priorities can easily get mixed up, and that time that should be invested for God is frittered away in some secondary or secular experience, and sometimes even in sinful experiences. Time. How much time do you have? How much time do I have? I want to say to you, you don't know, and I don't know, but we do know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, a judgment. We know that we have an appointment with death. We don't know when it will come due, but we're looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's coming not for a rupture, but for the rapture. Every blood wash will be taken out. Thank God for that. And so I'm to be a good steward of the talents and the gifts that God gives. God has endowed all of us with some special talent. And there's gifts that God gives men. And your gift may differ from another person's gift. I believe, listen, God gives us the ability to speak. We ought to be speaking. God gives us the ability to sing, and something to sing about. We ought to be singing. And again, listen, we ought to use hospitality. Why? We ought to be good stewards of the manifold grace of our God. But then I'm reminded of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so we're reminded the gospel is of the gospel of the grace of God. We have a responsibility to live the gospel. Amen. And to preach the gospel. And to give out the gospel. And to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. And this is a vision we need to capture. I owe the gospel to my family. I owe the gospel to my friends. And I owe the gospel to every creature. I remember the first Jewish boy was ever able to win to the Lord. It's on a Sunday morning down at the county jail. That one of our men had a service down there and asked me to come down and preach. And I saw that old boy from Isaiah 53 got born again by the grace of God. Hey, I'm telling you, it'll work. It'll work anywhere. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Now, every Christian is a steward. And if we're Christians, then we're steward, and God has entrusted us with a responsibility for which we are accountable to Him. I'm accountable to Him. And so I'm reminded of this. Christians may be good stewards or they may be bad stewards. We're to give an account of our stewardship. And so Peter uses that qualifying word. He talks about good stewards. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In the Bible, we're told that there are two kinds of Christians, spiritual and carnal. We're told that, listen, there's two kinds of service. There are faithful servants and unfaithful servants. There's two kinds of vessels. There's vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. Hey, the main thing is not the vessel. It's the treasure in the vessel. Can I tell you, listen, that vessel has no ability. It has no personality. It only has capacity. And that capacity is determined by our obedience to the Lord. Amen. And the period in which we're to exercise a stewardship is we're to just do it until Jesus comes. Be faithful unto him until he comes. We're only here for a limited time. One day, and it could be soon. I believe it's going to be soon. I believe this. Our earthly span will be completed. And the Lord will come. And then the opportunity for exercising and fulfilling our stewardship down here on earth will be done. And by the way, let me insert this while I'm passing by. I don't believe there's going to be a spit and whittle club in heaven. I believe we're going to be praising the Lamb of God for all eternity, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Jesus said, you know what he said? John chapter 9, verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Amen. I've talked to people about their need of the Lord and their lost condition, and they'll say, "Well, I'll do it some other time." How do you know you're going to be in your right mind tomorrow? How do you know the Lord's not going to come before tomorrow? I'm saying to you, today is a day to get that settled. And so I'm talking about we're to exercise our stewardship in light of the coming of Christ. I'm going to give an account to the Lord. My daddy left my brother and I at home to hold the corn. You might not know what I'm talking about, but that's what we did. We didn't have all the modern equipment. We had a hoe handle. And he left us to hoe the corn. He worked at the phosphate mine. And so my brother and I got busy with our slingshots, shooting all the birds we could with our slingshot. About 3:30 in the afternoon, there was a blood-curdling sound that came down the road. And we recognized the sound of our daddy's old car. It was loud. It might not be able to stop, but it was loud. And so my brother and I grabbed the hoe and got to hoeing the corn. And needless to say, we didn't get much corn hoed before my daddy pulled up. And he said to us, said, "Boys, what I tell you to do?" We said, "Hoe the corn." He said, "What y'all been doing all day?" We said, "Well, we shot our slingshots a little." He warmed us up on the south end where it was kind of uncomfortable to sit down for a long time. And I remember telling my daddy, we was a fixing to. I believe there's going to be a lot of people like that when Jesus comes and says, "Boy, we're a fixing to get busy. We're fixing to do something." Hey, quit aiming and start shooting, amen. We aim to please God. You get busy today as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. I'm saying we're to be diligent. This adds an urgency to the matter. Just challenge for us to be diligent in our efforts to get the gospel. The special requirement of the steward is not success, but faithfulness. Being found faithful. The Lord will not say, "Well done, thou good and successful servant." He might say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. I want to be faithful, amen. I've had people that has given me some counsel along the way that's foreign to the Word of God. When I left the church and they said, "Well, why don't you consider getting your job back in a printing press and start running the press again?" There was only one thing wrong with that. God called me to preach, amen. I said, "I believe I'll just stay with God, amen. Have no regrets." And God, I'm grateful for every door that opens up, amen. I've been kind of locked down in cell 336 for about 2.5 months, but I'm grateful that I'm seeing a little bit of the light break around the corner. An old boy called me the other day and said, "Could you come?" I said, "I believe we could." And so I booked another Sunday, but I got a few more left. But I'm telling you, I have a real good booking agent. He's called the Holy Ghost of God. And hey, he knows my need, and I want to be usable for him. I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Good and faithful. Adoniram Judson was faithful. He spoke of faithfulness and he stayed on the job in spite of 7 years without converts, in spite of all the discouragement and in spite of all the difficulties. He proved himself to be a good, faithful steward of the manifold grace of God. And the special mark of a steward is that he must be without blame. You're looking at a preacher tonight that still believes the biblical qualification for preachers. And that's to be the husband, have one wife and not one at a time. Amen. And that's to be blameless. We don't hear much about the blameless part, but that's still in the Bible. And I know you said, well, you preach like that, don't get into meetings. I've been doing pretty good. I preached somewhere every week for the last 3 years. That's just God. It's not me. I'm saying we want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. We're to be without blame. Perfection is not a requirement. There's only one perfect person who ever lived, and he has wounds in his hands. And his name's called Jesus. And they call him Emmanuel, being interpreted, God is with us. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me tonight? It's not a solo ministry. It's a duet ministry. It's Jesus and you. Amen. And so I'm saying this. That means that we are to live day by day in such a way that no one can point their fingers of blame against us for inconsistencies in our life. There's my pastor said to me, Brother Anthony, he said to me years and years ago, he said, Brother Joe, hardest thing in the ministry is to be consistent. And I found that along the way. That's a difficult thing. But God blesses those who be faithful and be consistent. Preaching the same book that I started out with. Haven't changed Bibles. I still believe that Christ died for the church. I think church is important in life. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for a person that calls himself a missionary that's not tied to a local church. Amen. And while I'm passing by, listen, I thank God for good mission agencies, but they're not replacement for the local church. Amen. Christ did not die for a mission agency. He died for the church. Amen. I still believe in the indigenous church. Amen. Yeah, and I'm not for welfareism. You're welcome. I want to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. I'm not trying to make a name. I'm trying to exalt a name. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'm saying that means that we live day by day in such a way that one can't point their finger at us because of our inconsistencies. Faithfulness in stewardship in this life qualifies us for our special service in the life to come. I believe that. And so the Lord is looking. What's He looking for? He's looking for faithful stewards. He's looking for those good stewards, faithful stewards. He's a worthy Lord. And listen, He's worthy of our stewardship. And so we ought to give Him much devotion and give Him our dedication, that in the day when we shall serve Him, we shall see Him face to face. And listen, looking forward to Him saying, well done, thou good and faithful service. Now, think it not strange concerning the fire trials that try you as though some strange things happen to you. If you're going to live godly in this world, you're going to be persecuted. Folk are going to say bad things about you and accuse you falsely. But God help us to remain a good steward of the manifold grace of God. We're going to give an account of it. I'm going to give an account. You're going to give an account of not all that we did, but we could have done. There's churches in America that spend hundreds and yea millions of dollars on a facility, on a building. And I know of a church, I could tell you tonight, they've got a very elegant building, got $400,000 in savings in the bank, and listen, have no interest in dispersing that money. That's going to be a lot to be accountable to God for at the Bema Seat Judgment. And listen, I think you can have an adequate building and a nice building, but not an elegant building. And you can help missionaries around the world and a church planted over here and a church planted over there. And God's glorified. Listen, God help us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God.